Blog Talk Radio.
Hey, it's your boy, Dr. Lorenzo D. Smith, known to some as Coach Smith and Dr. Lowe, the host and owner of WBSW Internet Talk Radio. We're going to have an awesome time through all our programmatic thrust. Just to get ready to have a ball, because that's what it's all about. We're going to give two claps. We're going to make it do what it do.
My, my, my. That's what it's all about. And yes, I said earlier, so glad to be back with you. We took a little time off, and we'll be coming for full speed ahead from this point on. We have a show later on tonight at 7 o'clock with Dr. Lowe's show. You are now joining Dr. Lowe's at the Smith as we close Dr. Lowe's neighborhood. We focus on our neighborhoods and the issues that occur in our neighborhood block by block. So what we want to make sure to share with you some awareness about what's going on. And hopefully you can add on to what we're talking about by calling in and chatting. The call-in number for our show is 347-857-4192. And if you want to check us out on the web, that's www.blogtalkradio/WBSW Internet Talk Radio. And if you want to go to Instagram, you have that opportunity to go to Instagram. You can check us out. Partners with the Brothers of Phi Beta Sigma Fraternity, Zeta Phi Sigma, Greenville with the number 10. You can check us out there, or you can go to at Lorenzo D. Smith 15. From time to time, we're broadcasting there, but you can go and communicate with us on Instagram at WBSW_internet_radio, at Coach Lorenzo, Coach Dr. Lorenzo D. Smith 15, at Smithway Production. Now, if you want to check us out on Facebook, if you're on Blog Talk Radio or either on Instagram, you can go to facebook.com/DRLDR Smith. And then we'll broadcast and play back and all our episodes. We have told them now we're moving towards 407 episodes. God has been so good. He's blessing us to be able to be heard in by listeners and watchers in 18 countries. And we're so glad to have an opportunity to do that. When we talk about all those episodes, you can just go to Blog Talk Radio with our radio station set up, WBSW Internet Talk Radio. And we type that in and you can find all the shows and all the topics we focus on, all the areas, just as we do on this show, Dr. Lowe's Neighborhood. It is a blessing. God has been so good. I'm dreaming because I'm refreshed. Because God has blessed me to take a little time on an opportunity to do a little rest and relaxation. To be able to come back and be energized to work at a maximum level. As a hashtag say, keep on grinding. That's what we're going to do. And when I send you that hashtag, I see you grinding. But I want you to keep on grinding. Because if you continue to grind and put the work in, God got something for you. It'll be magnified and it'll be coming tenfold. And you just don't know how to handle it because you don't realize what you're doing. You're making a difference in someone's life. You're changing the thought process. And we want to do the same thing on WBSW Internet Talk. We know that's why we're so happy. As I mentioned, that we're broadcast in 18 countries. Having those listeners and those individuals watching, hopefully something they hear, an opportunity to see and take it and put it into our neighborhoods, make a difference. We're broadcast in the United States, and we're so happy to have that opportunity, but also to have the opportunity to expand our boundaries north of the borders in Canada. We still have trouble traveling to Canada. But if you so happen as an essential worker will get to Canada, turn on WBSW Internet Talk Radio. Go to Facebook. Go to Blog Talk Radio. Check out and see what we're doing. Also, we're able to expand now our arms way beyond the South Borders down to Mexico. If you're in Cancun or you're in one of the spots in Mexico, turn on your radio, turn on your internet, turn on whatever you have to listen to WBSW Internet Radio We're so glad to be able to share with you. Yes, it's talk radio, but it's truly just an internet radio, because we do have the opportunity time to time to be involved and play a game. So God is so good. We got an awesome show planned for today. I want to thank BJ and Jefferson for joining us today. The newest hour, way beyond the normal hour of 12 o'clock. We're at the 1 o'clock hour, so we call it noonish. It's past 12 o'clock. Thank you, BK. We also have the Archer 66. Thank you for joining us. Now we have I'm going to say it, I may get it right, N. Glenn B. If I didn't get it, you help me out. Looking like a member of Zeta by Bezos and Morgan. Walk right in. Thank you so much by looking at seeing the letters on the chest of the picture. We want to wave at both of you all, or all of you all, so we can make sure to let you know we're happy to have you here with us. Happy for you to be a part of it. And we just want to have an awesome show today. Again, the title of today's show is Schools Are Failing Black American Children. I shared that topic earlier, and it was said to me it's failing all children. But it seems like the African-American or black American children are the one who's suffering in so many ways because of disparity, because of unequal opportunities, just because of inadequate funding. The funding may come where it's supposed to be in regards to the central location, but it does not expand to a lot of our rural areas. It does not expand to a lot of our low-income areas. So our children are truly have a challenge. And we're in a new millennium. We're moving toward a new time. When I say millennium, is that we're moving to a point where 2021. So we're in a new time. So we truly want to be able to understand that we have inadequate funding. We have to know that's unequal opportunities. We have disparity within our educations of our children. And our goal is for them not to fail. I have been in education over 30 plus years. I've heard all kind of great answers, and they come in with these slogans, no child left behind. Or they come with this slogan, failure is not an option. It doesn't matter who come up with a slogan. In your homes where we're operating block by block, you make sure that your child do not fail. Don't leave it up to somebody else to raise your children. Don't leave it up to somebody else to teach your children, because teaching and education and learning begins at home. When a child comes from the womb, they're looking up trying to see exactly where they are. They're learning in that process. Let's not blame somebody else. I gave you some good examples of why the schools are failing black children, and that was due to disparity, due to unequal opportunity, inadequate funding. These are the things that we know is in place, but we kind of bury our head in the sand, because when it becomes so cluttered and where we think we're moving out, they come and they do give opportunities. They give opportunities and they take some of our smartest children out of our traditional schools and place them in magnet schools. We have a sense of white flight. The flight of the majority culture leaving and going to comfortable places. Now we're there back to what we would call a sense of segregation again. See, we fought hard, and when the Brown versus the Board of Topeka, that was segregation, but it was to remove that. But we're back to that because we have allowed that to happen. Not saying that we can't stop people from flying, taking flight from our community, but we can make sure that those individuals that truly leave here, they, it's fine, but don't forget about us. When you leave there, don't forget about us. Don't try to take our best from our out of our schools and our communities. Let's invest in our community. Dr. Lowe's Neighborhood says, put something back in. The more you put in, the more you can get out of it. We want you to work block by block. So as we see our educational system, we see it not function like it needs to function just because of things like not having the adequate funding. We have unequal access to key educational resources. Yes, everybody talk about money. That's all we talk about all the time. But money comes, but if you're not able to use that money in the manner it's supposed to be used, then we lose out on the opportunity, because if we're placed in an inadequate situation, then inadequate funding comes along. It's hard to remove individuals out of inadequate situations when you don't have the necessary know-how to remove yourself. See, too many times people are caught up in situations when they believe in, because I'm giving $5, that $5 will allow me to move forward. It can if I know how to use that $5. So when our schools receive inadequate funding, we have to be realistic about the whole situation. Not only is funding, it's the lack of skilled teachers and quality curriculum. It's amazing your rural schools and some of your small schools, even some of your urban schools, lack the ability in that curriculum for it to be called quality. You don't have the necessary courses. So if I decide I want to go to college, that I can go to college because I've been exposed to a level higher than in math. If you want to look at the 4x4, that lie in math, that when I get to my junior year, I want to be able to have an opportunity to be exposed to algebra 2 and 3. I want to be exposed to calculus. I want to be in a part in my science and making sure I'm exposed to chemistry and exposed to physics. These things, we didn't say we have to be the one to make all the highest marks, but the ideal that if our black children are given the opportunity to be exposed to, they can excel and grow to the highest point, because you know when we invest in them, they can return that investment back in us. And that's what it's all about. So when our schools are failing our black children because they accept what's going on. See, we was focusing and been focusing so much on just trying to live in a traditional society. We're now in a conventional society that requires everything to be industrialized and use of technology. We're in an industrialized world. And what we're doing is we're caught up in still thinking like they did in the past. Because we got to be careful now. We got to be careful when we start thinking like how it was in the past. We got to think about how we are now. That way we'll know we can make the necessary adjustment. You know, it was so amazing. This is probably in the first five-year framework alone that I've been associated with education going back many, many blue moons ago, when they had always had a five-year plan. Right now, I think we're just trying to go year by year. We're trying to adjust. Yes, we got to adjust to COVID-19. Some are not ready to adjust. They're just still thinking like, how can I get back to 2019? Now, come on now. Everything wasn't so great in 2019. Especially with our black children in education. Our children was either dimmed out, and I tell everybody, listen to me, dimmed out meaning that they had so many inadequate opportunities, there's been so much disparity in their education process, they failed at what they can do, but you're not able to have the resources. The resources could be the teacher standing up in front of. So they fall farther behind. I tell parents right now, Be careful. I'll be very aware of who's standing in front of your children calling themselves teachers. I'm not criticizing because by trade and career, I'm a teacher. And I love teaching too, whether it's mentoring, whether it was in the classroom, whether it was coaching, whether it was as a leader. However, you still need to find out who's standing in front of your children. You have to know what's going on. See, I want to go to the point that I'm going to preach this today. But I want to share that to understand that, in fact, in the United States, our educational system is one of the most inadequate. Listen to what I'm saying. In the industrial world, the most inadequate. Now listen to that. Now I don't want to say it too loud. I just want you to know that it's so inadequate. All of our children are failing. However, it seems like black children, we fall further and further behind because we look like we start off behind. Not all of them, some are quite competitive. We don't believe in giving up, but I truly believe that we need to use those resources that we have to make sure our children have a chance to be productive citizens. See, first of all, school, we know failing because some of our teachers lack skills. You know, the skill to be able to deal with situations, the skill to be able to adjust, the skills when you're talking about being creative, a skill to be innovative. See, this is what we need to focus on. Then a quality curriculum. We got to have a curriculum that includes those things I mentioned earlier, making sure that our children have exposure if they want to go to college, to the college prep classes. See, the thing about it, if your child talking about a senior year, talking about going to a college, you know you're way behind the eight ball because even the colleges take your four-year academic performance. So it don't base it on the 12-8 year. So we got to talk this in our homes. We got to make sure in our communities, block by block, that we're talking about, if you're interested in college, you need to be thinking about when you are in the 7th grade, when you're in the 8th grade, when you're in the 9th grade. See, everybody say, well, they too young. It ain't too young for no other country, but seems like it's too young for our country. But we got to no longer allow it to be like that. We have to step up, making sure our young people have an opportunity to see. Since we already know our educational system is unequal to all the industrialized world. So we have to understand that students routinely receive dramatically different learning opportunities. See, based on their social status. See, we got to be real here now. So I want you to be a part of it by being real and calling in. The call-in number is 347-857-4192. Press 1. I'll make sure I get you on the line by calling out the last four digits of your cell. And surely ask you to give your location if you can think of it or give your name, whatever you choose to do. Or you just don't have to mention where you're from at all. But I'd love to have you on here by finding out where you're located so I can look at my geographical board to kind of place a star and say you're calling from Dubai. You know, you're calling from Israel. You're calling from all over the world. I want you to make sure. Then we're going to ask you to offer your concerns, your comments, as well as your questions. The line is now open. So give us a call again at 347-857-4292. You have an opportunity to talk with Dr. Lowe, and we're going to just talk about the neighborhood. We want to talk about your neighborhood. We want you to truly know that. We want to talk about your neighborhood. It's just truly what we need to make sure we do. We got to understand. We truly have to be able to communicate, effective communication. And I think that's what we're missing in our learning environment. A positive learning environment requires effective communication. We have to have communications about how our social status fits in on our educational process. We have to have effective communications about funding. The difference in funding, why we're still having inadequate funding in our schools that are majority black. Why are we not having the curriculum? Why are we lacking the ability to be able to work with our children to have class sizes that are fitting for them to learn? So we're not talking about you got 40 or 35 in your class. And don't people tell you, oh, that's not possible. You know, we have a student class ratio. Let me tell you something. I've seen it. And I will challenge anybody. You come tell me we don't have a problem with class size. Yes, we do. We have a problem where we may have 35 or 30 students in an English class. May have 30 in a biology class. We may have 30 in a general science class. We may have 30 truly in a history class. Then we might have 60 in a PE class. Some people say they can take 60. One teacher can't deal with 60 students. I don't care what you say. It's challenging for us teachers to deal with 30 students. Because the thing about it, if you said the student teacher ratio is supposed to be 25-1 in those academic settings, and it's, and the level as you get younger comes down to 20, let's make sure we do it and have give our children a chance to be in a classroom that's so large they won't be able to communicate. They won't hear things. They'll be left out. What we have to do is hold people accountable. Too many times people are not willing to do that. See, we just think they're automatically going to do it just because they're in that position. Let me tell you, it don't work that way. You have to expect what you expect. Or vice versa, expectation requires you to expect what is being done. If you're not able to do that, we can't meet the level of success in our communities. See, we talk about block by block. We ain't talking about everybody. Because, you know, truly, I just mentioned in a statement that, you know, in fact, truly a fact, the United States education system is one of the most inadequate. So that's in, that entails to include all individuals. But I'm not focused on that. This show is all about our black children. It's all about, you know, our schools failing because we lack opportunity. We failing because we lack inadequate funding. We fail because disparity. This, at the point we're just giving up because everything is not working out like it should work out. So I want us to remember that we need to make sure we address these inequalities. Make sure we address these inadequacies. Make sure we're willing to do that. Don't sit around and expect somebody to come in, as we say on our show on Monday night, riding with on a white horse to come and change everything. I am really, really tired of hearing people say, what's somebody else going to do? What you going to do? I want to know what you going to do because you had your hand and your finger on the pulse. You can make a difference by doing something instead of waiting on somebody to come in and tell you what to do. Use the ability you have. Work with each other to make sure. You know, I have a call on the line and I want to make sure I give them a shout out because they want to say something. The caller that had the last 4 digits of cell, 4953. You're now live on WBSW Internet Talk Radio. Dr. Lowe's Neighborhood. Truly, what's your location and what's your thoughts?
I'm calling from the Midwest and the South. How you doing?
Fine, thank you. How you doing, my brother?
Let me tell you something. It ain't no day that's causing these blacks to be failing in these schools. You know who it is?
Yes, sir.
It's black parents and black society. Whites ain't had none of the curriculum in the state of Missouri, for instance, the state law says your curriculum, your textbook, and your instructional material can be whatever the district wants. It says that the State Board of Education and the Department of Elementary and Secondary Education cannot mandate to a school district. So then what are they saying the responsibility lies on? It lies on the people. it relied on black parents. And another thing, in the St. Louis area, you got all black school districts that have more money per child than white school districts.
Okay.
When you mature at them private institutions on the SAT test, black children are spotted 310 points. Asians are deducted 140 points before they even start taking the test.
Okay.
Yeah, that's a fact. So people talking about it's white folks or them days, whoever the days are, is just trying to pass the buck. That's what it is. You look at, and I'm going to say this, it ain't these children's fault. You know no child wake up in the morning wanting to be a failure. You look at your historical black colleges and universities. At any one time, you only have five that has a graduation rate above 50% in 6 years. Now you're up here talking to politicians about eliminating or doing away with student debt. Well, if you go to school for 6 years, that automatically means you're going to pay 50% more than you would if you went in 4 years. You're not preparing your kids.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir. Hey.
You're not preparing the kids. You look at these Nigerian kids. I'm talking about first and second generations. They don't have no problem. They have the highest educational attainment in the whole country, even above Asians and whites. And they just as black as Wesley Snipes. What's going on?
That's a question to ask. You got to ask our source.
And you know another thing. There needs to be school choice with vouchers. Obama killed, the Democrats killed the BC voucher program. Then you got organizations like the NAACP, the damn Democrats, they're against school choice. They ran by the teachers' unions. And those people are making money off of these black kids going to these schools and not being produced. You got black principals, black superintendents, black teachers. Look at these schools around the country. You got schools, and here's another point. I know for sure in St. Louis, right there on St. Charles Rock Road and Lucas and Hunt, you got a school, a high school called Normandy High in the Normandy School District.
Okay.
The math proficiency is less than 5%. Reading proficiency is 13% with a student body of about 1,200 students. Guess what they was doing here about several months ago? They took off a half a day to celebrate George Floyd. What kind of crazy mess is that?
All right, brother.
Yeah, I mean, so we got to start telling it like it is. If you don't tell it like it is, you're going to use these same stories over and over and over again. It ain't white folks doing this to these schools. It's these black folks that's running these schools. It's Democrats that's in these school districts. Craziest mess I ever want to see in my life. Anyway, I'm going to let you go.
Thank you, my brother out of St. Louis. Thank you so much for joining us. Truly, truly offer some things that we can consider and think about. And that's what it's all about. We're talking about truly, truly going block by block. We want to start in our neighborhoods. We want to start in our homes. If we want us to be successful, want our children to be successful, we're going to have to start in our homes, making sure that we invest in our children, not relying on sitting them in front of the television and the television invest more into them than we are. They're playing games all the time. We truly, truly don't want to take anything like that. But we have to, if we want to address the unequal opportunities, we have to create opportunities. The disparities, we have to give them hope. If we want to increase our funding, we have to, when we have our funding, use our funding in the way it should be used. We have to do those things so we can have an opportunity to be competitive. We can do whatever we want to. As his brother was talking about, it starts at home. It starts block by block. We are taking it back to the neighborhood. We want you to be able to work there. We want to be able to train. But that requires us to have a plan. That requires us to think. But it requires us to open up and hear what somebody else has to say. You don't have all the answers because you may have all the degrees. You don't have all the answers because you be tied in the right people. You don't have all that. You have to allow everyone to invest because as stakeholders, we're going to make sure everybody can be successful, but you got to be inclusive, not exclusive. And that's what I found in senior education. It becomes exclusive. The one that serves in our leadership capacity wants to always create the laws and create all the rules and never involve. Yes, truly, I believe in shared leadership. I believe that everybody plays a part of being successful because all of us going to be rewarded when everybody plays a part. The worst thing can happen and some of the things that are happening when we continue to exclude people that you asking to do something out of the plan. The planning process is important. So we want to see why our schools are failing. We talk about we got to remove disparity. We have to remove what we call opportunity that might not be equal. We have to work toward having funding, whatever funding we have, we make that funding work. We have to make it because we're going to be stewards of what we're doing. You know, we want to make sure financially our schools receiving and our children receive what they need. See, that's how you address your inadequacies. You can't do it when you are looking to profit yourself. You want to treat like I'm up here on the top and everybody is down there. So we ask the question, what do it mean to be black in American education system? We know we encounter racism, you know, and discrimination. And time to time, I talk with people and I share my story. See, I ain't talking about nobody else. I share my story. I'm not afraid to talk about my story. I talk about my story that I encountered racism. Everybody say I probably have, but no, because I came through segregation right into integration. As a sixth grader going to a majority white school and only 20 of us there out of 1,200 students. Some of the words that we use on each other, we heard. But we was in such a situation that we learned that we can't physically fight our way out. We have to physically work in those books and show that we're competitive and we're at the same level with them. And being able to compete because we're willing to put the work in brought me where I am now. And I'm gonna tell you, I'm not afraid to tell you about the story of racism, being called the N-word a lot of times, being challenged and ran home by people of the majority race. Someone thought that was funny. But the thing about we survived and we're here now and we have a story to tell. Now, a lot of you young people don't want to hear the story. We want to rewrite the story, but the story is real. So what do it mean to be black in American education system? It means that we deal with racism. We have dealt with racism. We're still dealing with racism. We deal with discrimination. You know, our life as a black American, we always encountering some form of discrimination, some form of racism, some forms that keeps us like it keeps their, our feet on our necks. But I tell you, what we have to keep in mind is that if you prepare yourself and if you dig deep down, tie those bootstraps mighty tight, and you come out from that place that they place you, even in our segregated black society in our neighborhoods. Yeah, we have it. Our schools are now back to that. But we don't want to talk about that. That don't mean we can't succeed. Some of the greatest time for African-American education was during segregation because we was able to teach. Yeah. We was able to discipline. open with love. We was able to train. We was able to get our children ready to succeed. Some of that disappeared. Somewhere when we began to say we didn't have enough. Yes, we had inadequate funding back during the 60s, the 50s, in some sense in the 70s. We had inadequate funding. We had unequal opportunities. We had disparity. But you know what? We didn't give up. We reached deep down and we thought about what we need to come from the grassroots and work our way up. See, we got to understand there's a story outside of today. We have to find out what we've been through. So in education, we have always been placed in a situation where we got to claw ourselves out. We got to fight. We got to grab, do whatever. But there's one thing about it. As a living witness here, being a child of a father who had an eighth grade education, they gonna shame in my game, but had a master in life. I crawled and I grabbed and I pulled and I worked my way out. Yeah, I went through those days, hearing some words and being treated like I was treated unfair. But the thing about it, I'm not gonna give up. I even encountered that among my own people. You're not gonna succeed. You know, being black, you're not going to succeed. You come from a family where y'all don't have much, but you know what? I reached down, and I kept reaching and grabbing. There's a song by Clay Evans. Some people that reach beyond the break. And see, that's what I did. I reached beyond the break. Many others have done the same thing. And I applaud them. Now we're in a position now. We have to teach our young people, whether it's our children, our grandchildren, our great-grandchildren. You can't give up because people say you're supposed to give up. You ain't waiting on anybody to come in on a white horse. They can't do nothing for you unless you're ready to do it for yourself. See, that's what we're talking about. We want you to share the conversations just like my brother from St. Louis. Calling me and want to share his thought. All the others on the board as well. If you want to share your thought, you can do it. But the ones that listen to me on Facebook, watching me on Facebook, the calling number is 347-857-4192. Press 1. Make sure I get you on the line. I want you to share your thought, what it means to be black in America's educational system. What it means to you. What do it mean to you? What is the black American experience in education? What is it to you? I ask you that. Is it all about discrimination? Is it all about unequal opportunities? Is it all about disparity? Is it all about the lack of funding? Is it all about the lack of love in our homes? Is it all about us not encountering the things from the time we come into the womb and when we come out of the womb, not encountering the things that we need? There's definitely information out there that says a child can learn while he's in the womb. Mothers have to read to them. Because they hear. Because when they come out, as I said, they look up and they see the light. They look up and recognize the first face. And he continues to remember that. That's why we have moved truly toward parents being able to cut, or grandparents or whoever, to cut their biblical cord. Because when that child come out, the first face he's going to see and the first voice he's going to hear is going to be yours. So we have to reach deep down in our communities, in our homes, and we have to teach where they are so they can get where they need to be. The next thing we want to focus on is the inequality in teaching and schooling. How opportunities is rationed to students of color in America. how those opportunities is rationed to us, given to us a little bit at a time. Some of us are thankful just to have that little bit. Some of us want more. So we know there's inequality in teaching. I always said it's important to know who's standing in front of your child every day teaching. It's important to know that the school you're in, your child in, because it's one thing I think when we become stakeholders and buy into what we're trying to do in life, we remember that your child is in school and you're in school with them. No matter what kind of bad experience you had when you was a student, you're now in school with them. Proven fact, children have projects, especially the young children who do the project, mama. Sometime then. Children have homework, who's going to be working with? So it's you in school as well. So we have to demand quality out of our schools. We have to demand that the teaching be at the highest level. We have to hold them accountable. As I said earlier, if you expect something, truly inspect it to make sure they're meeting the goals, the children are meeting the goals, the school are meeting the goals. Because every school have a goal each year. Every student truly have something they want to do if it's just to get to the next grade. Every teacher have a goal. So we have to inspect it to make sure. We have to make sure that no one else is writing the narratives for us. We can no longer allow people in education to write the narrative and determine what we should learn. We should know, but we should also be a part of the planning process. I truly think that's so important. Our schools need to make sure they involve all stakeholders. The schools that are successful include all the stakeholders. So now how they know how to spend the resources, they know how to use the resources, they know how to delegate things, because everybody has an opportunity to share their thoughts. We cannot have successful schools unless everybody's a part. When we're talking about standardized and tests that our states come up with, determine the success of the school, if you exclude the student as a stakeholder, now all you want to do is want them to do the work, you may not be where you need to be. If you exclude the parent, I know some people say, well, they parents don't do nothing. Well, you know what? Have you invited them to do something? I'm not just talking about PTA meeting. I'm talking about inviting them to be a part of the planning process. They don't do it today because you're not inviting them to be a part of the planning process. That's why they may not do it. They're built in their mind that you are to teach them. You are the one to prepare them. And a lot of times do some things they're supposed to do. That's their thinking when they exclude. See, that's what we got to remember. We got to be inclusive in our educational system. Our schools got to include everybody. Our teaching have to expand their ability and learn ways to reach our children and reach our parents. See, one of the most terrible thing that can happen in a school is that a parent never is contacted by a teacher. That's tough. And I think that we got to expect these things and inspect them so our system can come together, so our people can do it block by block, so we can stamp out inadequacies. We can step out of inequality. We can step out of is the I syndrome. When you're in that school, it's a team and it's we trying to succeed. I go back to in the 60s, when all of our doing our civil rights and come together, and Dr. Martin Luther King leading us, definitely in the South, they had a song that said, "We shall overcome." They didn't say, "I shall overcome." They said, "We shall overcome." We have to go back to we. We got to get into our schools. We got to demand, and I'm telling your parents, demand to know what's going on. Ask the right question. If you're having a challenge asking the right question, you might need to get with someone to make sure you ask the right question. We got to be more involved. We got to be looking at block by block. We got to look at the neighborhood. We got to look at where we're coming from so we can get where we're going. We'll give a shout out to several people joining us on Instagram and Facebook. We have many on the Blog Talk Radio. Shout out to the Archer 66. And this is Glenn G. Brown 7932 and N. Glenn is a member of Zeta Phi Beta Sorority Incorporated. G. Brown, I'm looking, is a member of Phi Beta Sigma Fraternity Incorporated. Then we have Miss Bush EDS. I remember on Zeta, Phi Beta Sorority Incorporated. A shout out to BJ Jefferson out of Memphis, Tennessee. A shout out to our winner of our last raffle, Carol Davis, who won the 4-day, 3-night trip where we're taking care of the hotel and the tax to either Myrtle Beach or Gatlinburg, Tennessee. And we're going to continue to communicate with that. Thank you so much, Carol, and everybody else who sent in their Cash App, PayPal, Venmo, Apple Pay, and whatever transaction means you use. A shout out to Seema Jackson. She's known to me as a friend, Miss Sunshine. Thank you so much to Seema for taking your time and checking it out today. And all of those listeners who I can't see your name, thank you so much. We're WBSW Internet Radio, so glad to have you as we address some of the things that's been going on. Schools are failing black children. Failing because we all got to take ownership. We're talking about all of us being stakeholders. We can't afford to leave anybody out. We have individuals leaving schools to go and say they have another opportunity. We had St. Louis, and I won't call him Mr. St. Louis, but the gentleman from St. Louis was talking about school choice. We have people talking about charter schools. Some of these are taking the opportunity to address some of the problems of the charter schools. We're talking about the magnet schools. We're talking about all the schools and academies that give young people the opportunity to reach their highest point. That's how we challenge the inadequacy of schooling, teaching, how we challenge the unequal opportunity when everybody have a chance to find a place that they fit where they can learn. That's simple. People overlook that. We want to fit everybody in a square place with a round peg. It don't work that way. Whether it's from the White House to the house that may be in an area that you may not be comfortable. We have to make sure everybody is involved. this is one of the times we got to hear what everybody have to say. We have to do that in this country, and we have to do that in our schools. We definitely have to do it in our community. Because of this next question, next statement I want to make, and I try to share some of my own personal life, it said, discuss why schools are still segregated. I can tell you a story, and I can tell you what I see the problem is. The school was segregated, whether you said it was in the South. But you go further back to Brown versus the Board of Topeka, Kansas. You go that far back, and it was addressing segregation because it was in violation of the 14th Amendment. To where we are today, up until 1968, our schools, especially in the South, were segregated. In 1968, they enacted what we call integration. Why that was enacted? That was in that, maybe not in your area, but I can share what I had an opportunity to see and be exposed. Schools integrated, and it was not where we could just go. They made a point to pull students, especially black children, out of certain neighborhoods so we can have what we call a majority-minority rule. That rule was making sure that was majority white. We were bringing some students over there, busing some of them 5 and 10 and 20 miles so they can meet that. So we went through that. And then after we went through what we call integration, we went through a post-integration where we had a sense of white flight. Individuals leaving. Then we had a sense of now policies implemented from out of our Department of Education on a national level, that we came up with no child left behind. We came up failure is not an option. All of this led to one thing that we fell asleep on. We want to get back to neighborhood schools. That led us to where we are now. We're back to neighborhood schools because it's an all-black neighborhood. We got an all-black school. Is that not segregation? Maybe a choice. We have to be careful what we ask for. We have to be careful as when we speak, we look at all the possibilities. Because of some of the things that our schools that was already behind, and when you start having disparity, people just not believing, you know, they can succeed at it, or people dimming out. You know, I always talk about two things that happen to children in school. We always said when a child become discouraged, don't think they can succeed, they stop working. I know I got some people on here say, well, I can do this, I can do that. That's awesome. I'm glad because you're thinking about block by block. You're taking it from the grassroots. I'm glad. But there are some people, when those students get discouraged, we have these certain things put into play to place our, especially our boys, a little bit more active when they get around about the fourth grade. They're being placed in areas that contain them, whether it's in a form of being labeled as a behavior problem, or whether it's a form of placing special ed because of their behavior. And I know everybody is gonna say, hold up now, we do testing. We do things to make sure, but we have to see who's the author of a lot of those referrals for special ed. So we're getting back where our black children are paying the price. Paying the price of someone who are there, as I say, be careful who stand in front of your children, teaching them that may not want to be there. It's easy, and I heard that won't they get out. A lot of times they don't. A lot of times they do just enough to stay there. So we have to be real about this whole thing, that we're back in a sense in our urban, a lot of our urban areas, metropolitan areas, where we're back to our schools being segregated. Going back to that sense of disparity, unequal opportunities, and inadequate funding. You may have the answer. If you have the answer, you might need to start your own school, start your own charter school, if you know how to address the need. Are you beating the drum long enough talking about it's inadequate, we wanted to change? Somebody will listen. But we got to be grassroots. We got to start from the bottom and work our way up to the top. We have lived for many years, for probably the last 60 to 70 years, working from top trickling down to the bottom. And we can see that our children are truly paying the price, where they're not adequately prepared to succeed. Because our goal is to prepare our children to be successful citizens. That's our goal. And we have to go back to planning and being proactive. See, being reactive, you're already behind the eight ball. How many times you've seen situations when people are reacting to something instead of having a plan in place? I want us to go back to our 5-year plan, our 10-year plan in education. Create 5-year and 10-year plans in our families. Create 5 and 10-year plans in our neighborhood. This is what we want to see ourselves in 5 years. Set some goals, and you know what you have to do? Truly inspect what you expect. Focus on that, and we can help our children, especially the black children, be successful. We can't rely totally on the school, because you know there are three things that might be in the play, especially in our 99.9% black schools: disparity, unequal opportunity, inadequate funding. We know that, because the United States educational system is one of the most unequal in all the industrialized world. It's been good talking with you today. We're going to say thank you for taking time. I want to give a shout out to those individuals. That's Cecilia Jackson. Thank you so much. Carol Davies, our winner of our raffle, our food raffle. We will be having a raffle in October, November, and December. We will be raffling off. As soon as I get with Ms. Carol Davis and she decides which one of those destinations she wants, the other one will be raffled off in November. But we will have raffles in October, because I already talked to the sponsors, who is is Tristan Consulting Service. They are sponsoring us. We appreciate it. I had a talk with Phi Beta Sigma Fraternity Incorporated, Zeta Phi Sigma Greenville Chapter. They're sponsoring us. And also Southern Spirits is sponsoring us in Greenville, Alabama. You also have McKenzie and Associates, one of our sponsors. We're so glad to have them as well. We have Transportation as one of our sponsors. We have Mr. Leon Bell and Troy Lisa. Mr. Leon is one of our sponsors. We're so glad to have each and every one of us. Then we have B. Williams Law, LLC, another sponsor out of Houston, Texas. Thank you so much for taking time to be a sponsor with us and sponsoring us. Thank you. We're in this together. Thank you, each and every one of you all. If I didn't say it, King Transportation Service as well. Thank you so much. It's been awesome. Give a shout out to two of those individuals earlier. I'll give a shout out to the third one that's with Facebook. That's BJ Jefferson. Then we also have the Archer 66. We have Inclan. Remember, Zayton 5 Regions North Incorporated. We have G. Brown 7932, member of Phi Beta Sigma Fraternity Incorporated. We have Ms. Bush EDS, member of Zeta Phi Beta Sigma Incorporated. And all the brothers that make that the chapter members of Zeta Phi Sigma Chapter in Greenville of Phi Beta Sigma Fraternity. Thank you all for joining us. It's been awesome. Check us out tonight at 7 o'clock at Dr. Russo, the Real Relationship Talk Show with No Filters. Coming hard, and co-hosts will be joining me to kind of share some thoughts here. Co-host Tina Robinson, the lady that put the boots on the ground in Oakland, California. Brother Eddie Pratt, that's Pastor Eddie Pratt out of Dallas, Texas. Also, Sarita Duncan, who just had a birthday. I want to say happy birthday to her. Truly have to say happy birthday to her. She had a birthday yesterday. Also, a shout out to Sorry out of Tallahassee. It's Rachel Robinson. She sent me talking about this is dollar sign cash out royal blue. So be reminded to be blessed. Give those blessings to her. Birthday was yesterday as well. And there are several others I had to truly, truly give shout out to. I would take all time in the world. One of my former students that's on the show, Sharon Presley. She had her birthday yesterday. And there are many others, and I'm going to go through it. I give a shout out to them tonight at 7 o'clock on the Dr. Lou Show, the Real Relationship Talk Show. It's going to be awesome. Then also we have joined us from time to time, Christine Waters, as one of the co-hosts on the Dr. Lou Show. She's the host of Tell the Truth that's aired on the third Sunday. We've kind of been, we're going to get back in the groove. I talk with her. She's ready to get back in the groove, as well as Minister Shannon, who will be joining us for the Minister Shannon Show. That's the fourth Thursday at 7 o'clock. It's really good. I'm sorry, at 8 o'clock, because we have a show that runs in the time that may be at 6 o'clock. It is a blessing. God is so good. Thank you so much. And this is diamond.butt.5095110. Thank you for joining us as well. See, God is good. He's blessing us with an awesome group of watchers and listeners. I am Dr. Lorenzo D. Smith, WBSW Internet Radio, the host of the Dr. Low Show. We're aired on Tuesday and Thursday at 1 o'clock. Check us out. Hopefully we share something about schools are failing, truly failing black children. Have an awesome rest of the afternoon when we see you tonight at 7 o'clock Central Standard Time, and we're going to talk truly, truly about relationship. Relationship. Why is it truly, truly so hard have but such a big challenge to let go? And it's relationship. Why can't I let go? Have an awesome rest of the day. Hashtag truly, truly be responsible. Hashtag responsible. Make sure you follow the safety protocols. I heard somebody say, well, it's almost gone. We need to get another one. Because the Delta variant is truly claiming lives as well as hospital lives individuals. And you can come to me and say, it's only them ones vaccinated, but I've not talked to medical people. Because it's not only vaccinated people, it's in the hospital. We have to practice the safety protocols. You need to wash your hands. You need to make sure you stay 6 feet. And wear your mask. And it's by choice. If that's your way, because I'm fully vaccinated, you choose to be vaccinated, but you still have to practice those things. And you have to stay at home. So that's the one we have really truly needed since we had our closure in March 3. We were supposed to be at home even though people was out. No, we don't want to stay home. You see, we've been confined in 2 months, however, to get a handle on what we're dealing with. And hopefully, when we see the next one, it's like the number that's already into the system, then we will be having a clear understanding as an individual. We have to take care of these things block by block. Have conversations with your family members because they can immediately be vaccinated and be a carrier. That's why the CDC is saying that. Well, indoors, you're vaccinated or unvaccinated, you need to have a mask on. Let's be serious. Hashtag communicate for understanding. 4 is love. It's number 4, and it's L-O-V-E. Keep on grinding is a hashtag for sure. A mindset is a hashtag. And I want you to truly, truly take the opportunity to tell a family member or tell your closest friend or whoever that you love. And don't be afraid to tell them. If that's a gift you need to get to it. And they will be able to reciprocate it because when you're told by somebody that they love, they send a special thing to your heart because love is the essence of our soul. Give them a hug, whether it's virtual, face-to-face, same in communication with the virtual. And last but not least, I want you to truly, truly know that I truly love you. And I'm saying it in a soft way right now, but I'm going to do my shout out to you because you took time to be a part of this. And as we close, I always tell everybody, I'm truly, truly blessed and thankful you allowed me to have this platform. So I want to let you know, from my heart, I give you love. I'll offer you an opportunity to learn. And I want you to live and things get out of hand. Let go. It's like our topic tonight, relationship. Why can't I let go? And last but not least, truly, truly, the song I play to close this out. It's all about amen. And you have to say amen. We don't own the rights to the music. But we want to do something. But I want to say to you, I love you, and ain't nothing you can do about it. Have an awesome rest of the day. Truly, truly.
Amen. 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 Didn't see her coming. Hell, it's like I've been running. Is my mind playing tricks on me? Is she one up for me? If I had to testify, I could only say she's the truth. It's like prayers went up and sent me you. Now I wasn't looking, I was fine on my own. Could come and go as I please, nobody questioning me. I don't know when things began to change. You came and turned all around, got me saying amen. From the bed to the stove, from the church to the job, best thing I got me saying amen. Girl, you're looking good, you keep that cooking good, best thing for sure. Your love by settling, settling on me. Like a kid in a blanket, made it hard for me to leave. And you gave me new love, kind I never ever seen. And I'm eternally thankful. Got me saying amen. From the bed to the stove, from the church to the job, best thing I got me saying amen. Girl, you're looking good, you keep that cooking good, best thing for sure. Shout me saying amen. From the bed to the stove, from the church to the job, best thing I got me saying amen. Girl, you're looking good, you keep that cooking good, best thing for sure.
It's hard for me to picture, I feel right here with you, look what I've been missing.
And if I knew then what I know right now, I would have settled down a long time.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And if I hadn't met you, where would I be? You got me on bended knee, got me saying amen. From the bed to the stove, from the church to the job, best thing I know. Got me saying amen.